Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The Eisenhower Fellowships, founded in 1953, aimed to spread a notion of peace and prosperity championed by President Dwight Eisenhower. Lorna Arungu Macharia is an Eisenhower Fellow from Kenya, now touring the United States. She is traveling America to examine the role of U.S. women in local and national politics. Her goal is to take what she learns here back to her home country. Arungu Macharia recently toured Western South Dakota. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray caught up with her and first asked about how her fellowship and asked about her fellowship and the scope of her research.
In Kenya right now, we're in the process of trying to pass something called the two-thirds gender bill, which says that you cannot have two-thirds of any gender. And that really is about trying to get more women into power.
This is interesting. So the two-thirds gender bill, I want to make sure people can hear and understand.
Yes.
This is that you can't have two-thirds of any government body be all men, and they have to be some
Got
women
it.
In there.
Yes.
Is that right?
Either men or women. So that's the purpose of it. And this is a part of our new constitution, which was passed in 2010. And I was part of the people who was advocating for that to be passed and really focusing on what were the rights for women in it. So the two-thirds gender rule is critical because of leadership, and especially political leadership, because that's where you're able to do this. And starting to say that we want women to be elected into office, not just nominated into positions, but we're really trying to get it turned into law. The people need to actually pass this bill. So my passion was around asking, what is the role? Because I keep seeing, having worked in the media, a distinct link between women leadership and presentation of women leadership. So what is the media doing? What kind of stories are they spinning around women leaders? What are the lessons that need to be taught? And being in the U.S. at this particular point, when you've got an election and you've got a woman running, and this is her second time at it, and she's been high profile, it was really interesting to kind of see what's going on around this, what's conversation around this, what's the role of the media. And I want to take it a bit further and say, I'm not just looking at media's political commentators. So because if you turn CNN, CNBC, Fox News, you kind of see the same characters, same analysis. But I also am interested in seeing all facets of the media. What's the role of entertainment media? What's the role of political media? What's the role of programming? How do all this impact this? And so far, it's been fascinating to see the different facets at play.
So you can access American media in Kenya.
Absolutely.
But it has to be different being here in the country.
It is so different. So we get very limited media. To be fair, you don't get a lot of the local context. So we are looking at what's happening on CNN International, not just CNN local. And I have come to realize they're two very different things. What we see on CNN International is not happening locally. We don't get as much Fox News. So think CNN, MSNBC. And that's really, if you've got cable, you've got access, which I do. But being here has been a whole new conversation, trying to see what the local smaller stations are saying, what's happening, just the comments. And also for me, when I think media, I think entertainment and consumption also. So kind of what are the pins I'm seeing on the road? What are some of the things that are available? It's shocking on both sides of the divide. Like, wow, this kind of does get nasty when you want to. And specifically when it comes to women, the conversation around someone like Hillary and what she brings on the table has been fascinating to hear. Because at some point, I guess we're sitting on the outside thinking, America's got this. You know, you're smart that you can get this done. And then at some point, I'm like, this is a really base level conversation. Like, how did you get here? And I was telling someone, I don't think, and this goes for everyone, but the spotlight is in the U.S. right now. You guys need to get this right, because it sets a precedent for what's happening across the world. I mean, when you kind of hear the discord and conversation that's being allowed to happen at a national level, it's scary for me, because it says the freedom of speech is a great thing, and it's always been put in such positive and you know, affirming way. But suddenly, I'm like, I don't think you understand that these people listening to this thinking, if they can get away with this, wait until we start ours and no one can ever tell us anything. So as a protector of liberty, and as a person, as a shining light of liberty for the world, this is going to be a test moment. And what comes out of this, and how, not just what comes out of it, but how you move on post this whole conversation, is going to be very fascinating to watch.
You mentioned America as this shining point of liberty. Your mention also of this law being debated in Kenya over the mm-hmm. two-thirds law. Mm-hmm. This is something many Americans would see very progressive, and doesn't happen in our own government institutions. Mm-hmm. There are mm-hmm. many state legislatures and other government bodies that do not have that role or participation of women. Were you at all surprised to find that? And now that you're an outsider with a perspective on communities like the one we're in here, Rapid City, South Dakota, do we need to do better, in your opinion, at making sure women are included in politics in the way they should be?
I think the challenges in the U.S. are more than just women. It's a diversity question. It's the more I explore it, the more I recognize that Latinas, who I guess we don't get to hear as much of, but that kind of that community really has been put in the sidelines. One of the reasons I wanted to come here was because of the Native American community. They are never heard of. Like, where do they play in this whole thing? So when I'm thinking about conversation around immigration, I'm like, you do know you're all immigrants, to be fair. I want to hear what the real people have to say about this, because you are all immigrants. So that this is an issue, I think, is totally hypocritical. So it's interesting for me, and I have had the great distinct privilege of speaking with people working behind the scenes and just showing me the numbers and statistics. But I remember having this wonderful conversation with someone at Emily's List, which is a major organization that supports women candidates to run who are pro-women issues, and saying, whereas some of the challenges that women face here is saying, I don't feel I'm qualified, I don't feel there's a space for me. Some of the reasons female candidates don't run in other parts of the world is because violence will be meted against them. That's one of the biggest things happening in Kenya for women candidates. Violence is a key thing that could happen to you if you're running in a position. That's what's used to stop you. Not that you're smart or that you're resources. It's none of that. So it's actually a question of, do I want to put myself through this? Whereas here, you're qualified, you probably have party support, you've got the resources at your disposal, you just don't think it's possible. And some other communities, now let's go to the diversity issue, there's just no space for you to engage on issues that matter to your people. So it's interesting that the challenges are the same, the problems necessarily aren't, but the challenges of getting to a point of representation are the same. And it's wanting to say, I wish you could come and see, or I wish you could see the opportunities that lie for you. And your barriers, as hard as they may seem, are not as hard as it is for someone else who are then pushing for really bold legislative laws. We're fighting with cultural people. We're coming from a hugely patriarchal society that is saying, why are we having women in leadership? It's not like, and yet women lead, you know? So we've got a lot more battles to fight than I feel that this particular space does. But it's interesting to observe. It's also interesting to hear things and then say, okay, got it. This is the same problem. How we address it needs to kind of filter so that the message resonates with whoever's trying to do this.
It seems there's ways we can learn from each other. And that's
absolutely
part of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, with freedom and democracy comes responsibility. It comes a responsibility to be civic-minded, to take part in your own community.
Mm-hmm.
But if women aren't empowered to do that, or if in your country women are treated with violence if they try and take part in the system,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what does it take to overcome some of these barriers in your country, and both, what do you think it takes to overcome some of these barriers here in this country?
Now, that's a question I don't know if I have an answer to. That's what I'm sort of exploring. What has worked? What hasn't worked? I do recognize more and more as I speak to even those candidates who've made it, speaking to senators or speaking to Congress people who've been elected, and recognizing that in a lot of places it's consistency. In a lot of places it's about value systems. It's about dialogue. It's about convincing those who hold the power currently that there's opportunities. And so learning that laws and legislations are nothing, they're pieces of paper, unless there's a will to implement it, which is what we're fighting for in our country, and which is what I feel a lot of people have managed to do here. But there's also been huge success stories here. When I think of organizations I was talking to who've been working with women over 40 years, over 50 years, you have institutions that have been fighting for this since early 19th century. So you have a legacy and a history. What I find interesting is that information is not necessarily available across. So I'm getting information where I come out from a meeting in D.C. and I go to Atlanta and I'm like, wait, the question in D.C. can be answered by you people in Atlanta. Why don't you know this? But it seems that there's no communication across sectors sometimes. There's no communication across tiers. So you're really working on empowerment at a grassroots level. You've been working for 15 years. You're working with the exact same women this big organization is trying to talk to, but you're not talking to one another. So one of the questions I'm asking myself is, how do we get people to communicate better? Collaboration is going to be key across the sectors. Learning to listen to people outside your space is, I think, going to be the fundamental way to do this. Opening up your mind and recognizing that just because this problem is a government problem doesn't mean private sector doesn't necessarily have a solution for it. And taking it a notch lower, it's a really high level conversation. I think getting it down to the grassroots and working with smaller communities and seeing how those success stories can be carried through is going to be important. And I think in that case, the role of technology and of the way we are communicating better is going to be fundamental in making those changes. And I have to believe that moving forward, it's going to happen a lot faster than it has been before.
Is that part of what you'll take home?
That's part of my take home. That has actually been one of my biggest learning curves, one that there is need for more collaboration, need for more people to speak cross-sectoral conversation. So politicians need to speak to that grassroots organizing group that's working on empowerment, or what are the lessons they have learned from, you know, a small city like this? What are the lessons Cedar Rapids can teach big D.C. folks?
Rapid City.
Oh, Rapid City. Okay. Rapid City, yes.
Your geography of the United States is still better than my geography of Kenya, I guarantee you. So please go on.
Yes. So it's starting to say, how do we get those connections done? Different people. One of the things is, how does entertainment start impacting politics? And we're starting to see that. I think that's one of the things I'm really curious in seeing with that kind of crossover, where it's not just big actors endorsing people, but telling these stories and sharing these things in ways that are palatable in bite-sized chunks. So I think collaboration is going to be key. Using technology to share this information, that's huge.
Can this be done globally as well? You were talking about the difference between Atlanta and D.C., but Kenya's democracy, America's democracy, can we again, the same question, we can learn from each other.
I think that's the space I want to sit in. I want to figure that out. I want to figure out how do we, 10 years from now, look at a story that's happened in Kenya and say, this was supported by this learning and these two groups getting together. It's getting the right people who are passionate enough about saying, I am excited about this. And it may be, and part of it is saying, who is the connector? I mean, because if you're working here, you've got your priorities, right? You don't have time to go change the world and do something. But I have met you, and then I'm going to go. So I'm going to be like, can I stay in touch with you? Is there something that you're doing? Can we learn from this? And I find when you ask that, no one says no. Everyone's excited that what they can be taught somewhere else. They just don't know how to get it there. And that's where I feel technology and information is going to be critical in doing it. That's where entertainment is going to be. I strongly believe America's greatest weapon is not your military strength. It's a power of entertainment. It's Hollywood. It's your music. That's your biggest export. That's what sold the American dream to everyone. That's why people want to come to and live here, because they believe that they can make it here, right? We grew up with half American shows. This is what we know. So can you imagine if there was a really deliberate effort to kind of change this and show this and be the leader? And that's why I say the spotlight is on you. Your message of liberty has not been spread by your presidents. Your message of liberty is spread by Hollywood. It's spread by your music. It's spread by your entertainers. If you go to a village in Kenya, they know Beyonce. They knew Michael Jackson. They know Rambo. They have Rocky posters. Where does that come from? What does that teach? What message are you spreading? So that for me is the reason why I believe it's only going to get better. So the question is, how does that content go global? It's not the job of small towns. It's a job of big media like that. Pick up to the knowledge in the small town and turn it global.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for stopping by
the
studio
today.
No,
thank you so much. This was great.